The following program deals with military and veteran issues. All comments and opinions expressed on this show are those who made them. They do not reflect the opinions of the Church of Satan or Radio Free Satan. So on with the show.
Welcome to the official Infernal Legion podcast. I am your host, Warlock Jeff Bowling, commander of the Infernal Legion, and this is our special Memorial Day episode for year 58, Anno Satanas. We have a great episode for you today. First, I'll be going over the history of Memorial Day, its origins, legal status, and the ways in which I personally observe the holiday. Then I'll be joined by a panel of fellow Legionnaires who will be sharing their perspectives on Memorial Day. Finally, we'll close out the show with our traditional reading of the names of the fallen and the playing of taps. Before we dive in, though, let's give a quick shout-out to the sponsors of this episode. The Warlock Emporium is creating bespoke items for the chosen few. The Warlock Emporium is the only authorized seller of items bearing the Warlock sigil designed by Magister Dr. Robert Johnson, the author of The Satanic Warlock. The Warlock Emporium is now offering a 10% military and veterans discount. Please visit www.thewarlockemporium.com for more information. Underworld Amusements is your source for curious sundries and callous broadsides. Since 2007, Underworld Amusements has been curating, publishing, and selling books deemed too dangerous for mass consumption. Visit www.underworldamusements.com for more information. Duffelblog is the American military's most trusted news source. Duffelblog has been taking the brass to task for 11 years through the highest quality satire written by veterans for veterans. Visit www.duffelblog.com for more information. And now, let's get back to the show. Memorial Day is a federal holiday set aside to honor and remember the service members who paid the ultimate price in defense of the United States of America. Memorial Day is officially observed on the last Monday in May. However, from 1868 to 1970, it was observed on May 30th. Prior to its national adoption, Memorial Day, originally known as Decoration Day, began in the wake of the United States Civil War throughout various communities in both the North and South in which battles took place. In 2022, the National Cemetery Administration, a division of the Department of Veterans Affairs, proclaimed that the official beginning of Decoration Day was to be credited to Mary Ann Williams, who first came up with the idea of, quote, strewing the graves of Civil War soldiers, Union and Confederate, with flowers. On May 30, 1868, Commander-in-Chief John A. Logan of the Grand Army of the Republic proclaimed Decoration Day as a national holiday. By 1890, all former Union states and a handful of formerly Confederate states had officially recognized the holiday. On the heels of World War I, all states began to observe the holiday for all military fallen. In 1971, Congress standardized the holiday as Memorial Day, changed its observance to the last Monday in May, and officially recognized it as a federal holiday. Now, most people view Memorial Day as the unofficial start of summer, and most businesses have jumped on board with that idea, offering sales and special deals to quote-unquote celebrate the long weekend. Obviously, this idea of celebration for a holiday designed to commemorate the fallen, sometimes rubs veterans the wrong way. And that has caused controversy in other places as well. In fact, in the year 2000, Congress passed the National Moment of Remembrance Act, which asked that all citizens pause and remember the fallen at 3 o'clock p.m. on Memorial Day. And it did not stop there. In 2003, the Veterans of Foreign Wars Veterans Service Organization blamed the change of the date of observance for people not taking the holiday seriously, in an official statement which reads in part, "Changing the date merely to create three-day weekends has undermined the very meaning of the day. No doubt this has contributed a lot to the general public's nonchalant observance of Memorial Day." Now, despite the public's apparent nonchalance when it comes to Memorial Day, there are still a number of rituals and ceremonies associated with the holiday. First off, the flag is raised briskly to full staff and then solemnly lowered to half staff, where it remains until noon on Memorial Day. This occurs at all federal buildings and at most state buildings as well. The President of the United States places a wreath on the tomb of the unknown soldier in Arlington National Cemetery, after which a moment of silence is observed before the playing of taps, usually by the Marine Corps or Army bands. Across the country, volunteers will place flags at the grave sites of veterans. And of course, there is the tradition of veterans placing coins at the grave sites of their fellow service members. Now, it is not clear where this tradition began, but it is now a standard practice for veterans around the country to visit the grave sites of their fellow service members and to leave coins on their tombstones. A penny represents that they knew the service member in question. A nickel represents that they went to basic training or boot camp with the service member. A dime represents that they served with or were stationed with the service member in question. And a quarter represents that they were there when the service member died. So how do I personally observe Memorial Day? Well, since founding the Infernal Legion, I've had the opportunity to represent the Infernal Legion at a cross VSO event that is held every year in my local community. At this event, representatives from the VFW, the American Legion, AMVETS, and the Disabled American Veterans, along with myself and the Infernal Legion, will gather together and march to the Veterans Memorial Park that is located in our community. There, a ceremony will begin, which will include a reading of the names from the local community, a 21-gun salute, a moment of silence, followed by the playing of taps and the national anthem. After this ceremony concludes, I will hang out with the guys from the other VSOs and we'll probably grab a few drinks, and after which I will head over to my family's, where I'll meet up with family and friends and drink and have a barbecue and have fun. So as you can see, I'm not quite opposed to the ritualistic display of summer festivity, as many other veterans are. But I do understand where they're coming from. And personally, on Memorial Day, I am constantly flooded with memories of my friends, especially my friends who did not make it home. And so I always take the time to honor and remember them. But what kind of a Satanist would I be if I didn't have a little bit of fun, no matter what the day was? Well, now, I believe that concludes my little history lesson on Memorial Day. We're going to take a quick break to hear a few messages from Radio Free Satan. And when we come back, I will be joined by my panel, who will give their perspectives on Memorial Day. Stay tuned.
This is Reverend Gene, the host of Vox Satane, exclusively on Radio Free Satan. Join me every week as we indulge in the classical side of music spanning the past 1,000 years. Vox Satane has already featured over 700 composers covering medieval, baroque, classical, romantic, and contemporary music, including chant, choral, opera, keyboard, and orchestral music, with composers ranging from Gluck to Gilmour, Bach to Bellavance, Tallis to Taverner, and Paganini to Pärt. Get your weekly recommended dose of classical music right here on Vox Satane, only on Radio Free Satan, with me, Reverend Gene. Hail Satan!
What is naturism? The history practices and other aspects of living a clothing-free lifestyle. All on The Naked Satanist, hosted by warlock Jeff Ivins.
Why start your mornings early when you can sleep in late and wake up later to a freshly brewed cup of Radio Free Satan? Radio Free Satan is infernally roasted with a complex taste to suit your indulgence. It's sinful. That's why it tastes great. So pour yourself another helping of this podcast and others at RadioFreeSatan.com.
Welcome back to this special Memorial Day episode of the Infernal Legion podcast. Now, during the last segment, I gave a brief history and overview of Memorial Day, where it came from, what it represents, and how I personally observe the holiday. But I think it's important to hear from other veterans and find out what this holiday means to them and how they observe it. So to that end, please welcome my panel. Up first is the Sergeant-at-Arms of the Infernal Legion. He is also the post and district commander for the American Legion, an Army National Guard vet and an accomplished bluegrass musician, Warlock Wes Vanderpool. Welcome back to the show, man. How are you?
Good. Good. How are you, brother?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good, man.
Wonderful.
Up next, we have our FNG. That's fucking new guy for the uninitiated. He's both fucking new to the Infernal Legion and to the Church of Satan, but he is not new to the military. He's a retired Master Sergeant from the United States Air Force, where he served as a dog handler. Please welcome Citizen Ryan S. to the show.
Hey, brother. Appreciate it.
Welcome in. And of course, last but never least in my heart is the man himself, who needs no introduction, but I'm going to give him one anyway. He's the host of numerous podcasts and YouTube shows covering topics as diverse as Satanism, book, game, and movie reviews. He's an avid outdoorsman and a father to a host of psychopathic chickens, a United States Army veteran, Reverend Adam Campbell. Welcome back to the show, my friend.
Thanks for having me. I'm super stoked to be here.
All right, guys, I want to say first and foremost, I appreciate you guys all being here, taking your time to do this with me. Special thank you to Adam for bringing up the idea of doing a roundtable, because I do think it's important to hear what everyone has to say. Yeah. And I kind of just want to jump right into it. So what does Memorial Day mean for you individually? What does it symbolize, and how do you observe it every year? Whoever wants to start, just kick us off.
Well, I really, for me, it's a time to reflect, reflect on brothers lost and family lost that have left this plane, as it were. And just take time to remember all those folks, and to try to remember them in my own way. Usually involves a bourbon or three, and moving onward.
Thanks. For real.
Right, yeah, well. I find alcohol generally helps the holiday pass pretty easy.
Yes.
I don't know, man, because then you usually end up just in like a weeping, slobbering mass on this couch or something.
Sometimes, yeah.
It should have been me, god damn it. It should have been me.
That's a Tuesday.
Nice. How about you, yep. Ryan? What do you usually do?
So for me, it's always I'm weird, right? Because I'm an Air Force dude, and we don't do combat. But I've
like
done
ever,
and it's just a matter of like remembering the sacrifices that our brothers and sisters have paid. And one of my closest friends, he was a ranger during Mogadishu. And we get it, right? So it's just a matter of like hanging out, like having good times, because that's what we do, right? So you get wild, you have a good time. And then at the end of the night, there might be some darkness, but it's worth it.
Right. I do tend to also find that if you have the opportunity to surround yourself with other vets, it tends to keep that darkness at bay.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
I'm just hoping that robe doesn't open. Because I don't know what's underneath that thing, and I don't want to find out.
Well, I'm just jealous of the whoopee robe. That's pretty awesome.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
Look at that.
We can't put this on YouTube anymore, right? It just got dark. Pasties? American flag pasties?
Where'd you get that banana hand?
It's an AR-15 banana hammock. It's so big.
Don't threaten with a good time. So juicy.
All right, Adam, what about you?
All right. It's about remembering what the price of freedom actually is, I think. The reality that it's not these far-off names without a body that are doing the fighting and dying. It's actual human beings. It's fathers and mothers and brothers and sisters and stuff. I mean, it's people that are close to you, that are intimate with relationships and shared memories. You know, it's the idea that you may not like any specific political moment or agenda by any individual, but if you're a brother in arms, then that doesn't even factor into anything. All that matters is that you're going to do your job to make sure they do come home. And when they don't, you can't help but feel a little bit responsible in some way, even though chaos is, you still think that, you know, perhaps the price should not be so high, or perhaps there are different avenues that can be taken to recontextualize the battlefield in the first place of, you know, sending troops in harm's way in the first place. So it's always about sort of recontextualizing the price of freedom for me.
Mm. Yeah, I like that. I like the way you said that, especially the bit about how do you move forward after experiencing something like that, and how can that change the battlefield, which I think is something that's sorely overlooked. Like, I know advances in technology happen all the time, and most of us who served during the global war on terrorism saw those changes happening really fast paced. But at the same time, it almost seems like the story is just the same, no matter how advanced the technology gets. And I think Memorial Day is a great time to reflect on how we can change it, so I have fewer names instead of more to add to this list every year.
Right.
Absolutely. And that's a wonderful thing, right? That the our advancements in technology, like, there's fewer names, but they paid that price too.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, it's wild because, I mean, the reality is no matter how many new drones come out, you are always going to need, in some capacity, someone on the ground, whether that's a spotter or whether that's someone just sweeping through buildings, because drones can't do that. You know, you can always pretend like you want robots to go in and sort of scout out terrain in urban environment, for example, but nothing is the same as the instant decision making that a human being can make, whether this is a safe situation or a hostile situation, whether this is just a kid playing with a toy versus a potential combatant.
Yep.
So, like, no matter how far we go in the future with flying cars or jetpacks, I was promised flying cars when I was a little baby.
We're never getting flying cars, just let it go.
No matter how far we, you know, Jetsons like we get, there's always still going to have to be someone, and it'll be fewer. And arguably, I think the greater majority of the world is going to see that probably as a objectively good thing. And arguably it is, except that now you know the person's name. Everyone knows it because there's only one or five or 10 instead of platoons or battalions. So it becomes infinitely more personal, and you can't really help that. And so, you know, rather than hyper focusing on the diplomacy or the problem solving before we deal with the battlefield, ultimately what happens is we just don't show on the news the corpses coming back on the plane. You know, we just ignore the price, and we just focus on the amorphous mission, which the public doesn't give a damn about in the first place. And then whenever Memorial Day does come around, they thank the living members, which just proves they're fucking idiots, or they just think of it in terms of going and getting a cheaper sectional sofa rather than what the actual fucking holiday is actually about. And that drives me insane. I had a client come up for a bunch of social media post imagery. And they're like, we want something like this or something like this or something like that. And it's all like people happy holding their pets or, you know, smiling and with like little sparklers or, you know, always having some sort of Americana paper mache props in the background or something. And so what I sent was a graveyard with a bunch of flags in it. I said, this is the holiday. If you want to celebrate, which I don't know why you'd celebrate it, if you want to recognize the holiday, this is it. It's not all that other bullshit, the fucking Disneylanding of it. It's not the commercial sales. It's the loss, like people's family members.
Yeah.
And you just want a fucking a hot dog. Like, fuck you.
Got a hot dog for him.
I actually found it very interesting. You know, what was it, 3 years ago, I think I started doing these special Memorial Day episodes of this podcast. So I had to do a deep dive into the history of Memorial Day. And I found it very interesting and a little disconcerting that essentially Congress had to pass a measure in the year 2000 asking that everyone pause at 3 o'clock p.m., wherever you're at, to remember fallen. So not only does this day exist as a holiday, it's there. It should have been observed this whole time. But in the year 2000, Congress had to remind everyone, okay, hey, how about at 3 o'clock, we'll all stop and remember, because they're too busy, like you said, getting their new sectionals or having their hot dogs or just celebrating the fact that they have a 3 or 4 day weekend to even pause and reflect without a reminder.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, with technology continuing to advance, as you were saying, I mean, it's going to be easier for the decision makers to go to war, I think, because you won't have as many human elements. And, you know, the people who never step foot on a battlefield never are affected by that loss. I think they lose what the cost really is. I mean, even, you know, you don't lose a single person maybe to a gunshot or, you know, to an IED. However, there are scars that they come back with. Yeah. And it seems like the greater technology goes, I mean, it's in a way, it's pretty scary because becomes easier just to say, hey, let's go blow the shit out of that country. It's won't cost us many troops, you know?
Right.
It's kind of a scary thing. And you look at where our country was in World War II, how many people went and served there, and Vietnam and even Korea, you know, there was a great human cost to all of that. So it is a little scary to think that would still happen.
Yeah, that's a good point. And not only would it be easier because it's easier, you're sending less people, but decision makers may not even think about it because they don't have to send as many people.
Right.
Like the American people will just support it because there's not that many going.
Right.
Well, yeah, it's also not their children.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, that connects to your statement about there being a warrior culture in the U.S. You know, there's a whole warrior class that there's people fighting and dying traditionally from lower economic status. And they're the ones that are actually making the sacrifices in larger percentages than anyone else. So much so that it becomes this sort of microcosm of the U.S. where everyone else never even considers it. I remember in college, someone was complaining about having to sign up for the draft, some little kid. And like the idea that he would even have to sign up for a draft in a time where there hasn't been anyone ever called on a draft in two generations of his lifespan was the most insane notion I'd ever thought of, because he doesn't understand what it means to serve something other than his own whims. You know, the idea that you would have to step up and protect that which you are abusing every day, you know, the country, that's a bridge too far. I'll enjoy it, but I'm not going to fight for it, is the message he's sending. And that kind of drives me a little bit insane. I mean, you know, I went off on a little rant on him about it, but the truth is there's only very few costs to everything that we get to enjoy in America specifically, but I'm sure other countries that have standing forces. And the reality is that you may never have to pay that toll, but you should at least acknowledge that it is a potentiality. And if it comes to that, that you're willing. Like, and this is the other thing, you know, when we're talking about this and we're talking about how people misunderstand it, or, you know, we don't want to have the loss of life on the battlefield. The bitter truth is we're soldiers. We were trained to complete a mission. The consequence of failing that mission, or the unintended consequence of performing that mission, is the potential of death. So we understand that this is a cost that we may have to pay. And the ones that are lucky are sitting here and all around the rest of the country having, you know, survived their service without dying. But as Wes just mentioned, there are some who do in fact come home from the battlefield, but the lingering pain, the lingering mental damage that they had suffered persists, and the suicide rate of veterans is astronomical compared to any other group of peoples. So that loss of war continues even when you're not in it. And that's not soldiers or former soldiers complaining about that. We knew that was a potential price going into it. Everyone who has died on the battlefield knew that that was a potential price. And some people decided to stay in order to make sure others didn't have to. And so we understand the toll. We understand the cost. We're not complaining about that. What we're complaining, or at least what I'm complaining about, I don't want to be solipsistic here, is that people just simply don't understand. They don't understand the holiday. They don't understand the cost. They don't understand the price. They just think it's another day off from work. It's a 3 or 4 day week, and then they can go take their caravan and go up into the mountains and drink a bunch of Bud Light, or I don't know, maybe not now, but before. It drives me nuts.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And, you know, you talked about the suicide rate of veterans. I still consider those battlefield losses, but just because it takes, you know, a few years to get there doesn't mean that that was the result of it. But there's also millions of veterans who suffer from chronic illnesses that they developed by being too close to a burn pit, or by being injured in combat that maybe didn't kill them right away, but an infection will kill them 2 years later or something like that. So there's a lot more cost in warfare than not only the layperson realizes, but I think sometimes than anyone who's alive realizes. And unfortunately, a lot of those guys who are suffering from either mental issues or from physical issues, they go ignored. I mean, we're just now seeing the burn pit stuff start to go through. The money hasn't even hit the VA yet for them to actually do anything. We're just now starting to see the claims come in, and this is 20 years after the fact.
Yeah.
And never mind what happened to the Vietnam vets,
like, the Korean vets. Gulf War One, you know, like those guys, they're long retired, but they are dealing with this shit. And now the GWAT 2 folks are dealing with it. It's a mess.
Yeah, and you would think that, it, you know, if the, a decent amount of the population had a little bit of common sense, the fact that they're watching this play out on their very street would maybe be a little bit of a reminder to them. But then again, I'm not one to go around and beg people to feel sorry for other people, you know?
But I do think that's a really important note to be made. It's that I don't think anyone would ever want someone to feel sorry for anyone that, you know, paid the ultimate price. The fact is it's just acknowledgement. That's it. Just acknowledge it. Yeah. Because you're benefiting from it every single day just acknowledge that it's a thing, that it actually happened, that you, and by acknowledging in the most basic of levels, just internally in your head, you then almost make it okay. Like, the price is worth it if you at least understand that price. Because otherwise, you're just an ignorant taker. You're a leech on all of society. You're taking everything away from it and giving nothing back. And arguably, those are the people that should be, like, shot out of cannons into the battlefield, because the world would be infinitely better without them. Because if you think it begins and ends just with acknowledging a holiday, you're a fool. This is just one tiny aspect of their lives that they just don't recognize anyone else has any part in. And that's not to say that you have to hold hands and do a kumbaya or anything, but it does mean just sit for a second and realize that everything that you have as an opportunity, especially right now, if you're not signed up as a service member, if you never served your community or your public in any way, then you have no idea what the shit that you have to deal with and the price that you have to ultimately be prepared to pay. It's ridiculous how fucking ignorant our goddamn public is, and we encourage it. Commercially, we encourage it simply by having those stupid fucking sales, or get a new mattress, hey, discount on TVs, and everyone just wants to pull out their fucking wallets or swipe their damn cards. Meanwhile, people are fucking trying to get sand out of their fucking M16, or I'm sorry, that's dating me, their M4s, and like, they're giving up everything so that you can pull that stupid card out of your back pocket, you ignorant asshole.
Yeah. Fuck. Right, and you know,
So mad.
The public ignorance is really bad when it comes to ongoing operations. Like, we recently ended the war in Afghanistan. All of the troops pulled out of Afghanistan. And people just kind of washed their hands, the whole thing. They said, okay, it's over. That whole period of our time is over. It's not over. There's still, I think, 13,000 troops in Iraq. They're still spread out across the Horn of Africa and the rest of the Middle East. There's still another, I think, almost 100,000 altogether. And then that's not even counting operations that happen in Latin America, that happen in Asia. And now we're deploying more troops to the border again to assist the border patrol. So people they think, oh, well, we're out of Afghanistan, so this war is over. Now we'll just mourn those fallen. But people are still falling every single day overseas. And I wonder if part of the complacency of the American people is because we've become so good at what we do that they never have to see the war up close. You know, I think it was World War II was the last time foreign soldiers were on American soil.
Yeah. I would say that's part of it, but it's, not to go down a whole rabbit hole, but I mean, it really is that our media is so goddamn used as a tool to benefit those. And, you know, most of the time it's not beneficial for the powers that be to show troops bleeding, to show bodies coming home, coffins draped with flags. And our society, you know, you guys are hitting it right on the head. Our fucking society is at a point where they have zero self-reflection. It's all about the right now, the quick adrenaline boost, the quick endorphin boost they get from buying something new, from self-gratification, even if it's not the fun kind, that they don't fucking think. And they don't realize what is actually happening in the world, and that we have people who are like, you know, you keep doing that. You keep sitting there being comfy in your fucking chairs and your fancy ass cars. I'm going to go, you know, freeze my ass off someplace or sweat my ass off, depending where the operation is, getting eaten alive by fucking mosquitoes and scorpions and goddamn diamondbacks. And, you know,
and that's just basic training.
That was Fort Leonard Wood between, you know, May and December. But honestly, I mean, it is so ridiculous. And there is this small subculture in our society, as you were saying, of the warrior class. And, you know, it's something stepping kind of outside myself into more of a public thing of doing the American Legion. I mean, I got so tired of not doing anything locally where I was at. I would, you know, go into see veterans, like I go into Lowe's or go to Home Depot or Target or whatever, and you'd see veterans. You could tell because they had that same damn look, and there was nothing going for them. And when, you know, like most people, I went to the American Legion because it's like, hey, it's cheap beer. And what I ended up finding was a whole lot of veterans. I mean, you know, guys from Vietnam era, guys from the Gulf War, and everywhere in between. You know, one of the guys I am pretty close with was in Afghanistan in 2013, I think he came home. So, you know, it's a wide-ranging thing, and there's that commonality that everybody's seen the same shit. You know, even going back to Vietnam, one of my closest guys, you know, is a double Purple Heart winner. Funniest dude on the planet. He talks about getting shot. But, I mean, it's the same shit, the same sense of humor, the same thing in every war. And our society is just so blind to what's happening all over. I'm with you, Adam. I mean, that kind of shit pisses me off. It's like, you know, to see that and for people like to come up and say, oh, thank you, you know, for your service on Memorial Day. It's like any other day I'd be cool with that, you know, but it's not fucking today, man.
Like, don't thank me. Thank my friends who didn't come out of the combat zone. Like, that's what Memorial Day is about.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's so fucking rough. Like, I love it, but it's hard because it's like, hey man, I'm trying to like remember my friends and my comrades, and you're just like, oh, thank you for your service. Like, no, it's not about me. It's about those folks that didn't make it.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
And I think that's an especially raw nerve for recent veterans. I think that, like, the guys from Vietnam, they've tend to build up a callus over it. And, there's, you know, someone says thank you for your service, they just maybe roll their eyes. Or they even do the whole handshake thank you for your support thing. Yeah. But guys who are fresh out of the sandbox, it really hits, like, that nerve a lot harder. And I wonder if maybe one day, like, I know it hits me personally. I wonder if I'll develop that callus. And then I always ask myself, should I develop that callus? You know, yeah. I'm...
Great question, man. I mean, it comes to the fact of, are we being too critical and demanding too much of, and by our demanding, literally the demand is just recognize the reality of the holiday. That's it.
Right. Yeah. Just yeah, remember. That's our command. Just remember.
But are we demanding too much of a public that is continuously fed 24 hours entertainment, shocking, you know, everything is late breaking news. It's a hyper focusing on celebrity and sports and popular culture, talking heads. Can we expect, can we even like hope that someone would have any room in their thick skull to even think about anything else than they're just being constantly force fed? And I want to say, no, it's not too much to ask, but we are in an age where kids going to school have digital devices. They don't, we have AI chatbots that can write essays for you. I mean, we're like a Slurpee away from Wally. I mean,
yeah.
Thank you for your service.
It's always the robots doing it for you. Might as well,
Wally. Well, okay. So let me ask you this then, as a kind of follow up to that, because we talked about how much the day means to us and how much we kind of, I guess you could say, wish that it meant to other people. Is how important is the day itself, or is the fact that we've separated out a day of the year for this specifically part of the reason that it's not at the forefront of
people? Can I go first?
Yeah, by all means.
So I appreciate the we as Americans have this day, right, where this is what we do and we remember all of our veterans. But for me, you know, as an Air Force guy, I've been through some shit, and I will never not remember or forget the sacrifices that my combat in arms made for me. So, like, Veterans Day is great, or sorry, Memorial Day, but Memorial Day for me is every day. It's just the one day that I can be like, okay, this is what we do. If that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, for us, it's definitely not necessary to have a day because, like you had just mentioned, I mean, it's persistent. It's always in your head. If you've been in that situation, then how can you possibly forget? I mean, anyone who's lost a mother or father in regular life understands that you're not going to constantly be thinking about them, but if they're gone from time to time, it's going to pop in your head. Maybe it's a song, maybe it's a joke someone told, or maybe it's a laugh that reminds you of something else. And then instantly you're right back there to that pain position. And you're just going to have to suck it up and just live in that moment until it passes every day. You know, I mean, so I don't think the holiday is important for us living veterans. Arguably, it's not really important. Well, it's definitely not important for the dead because they're fucking dead. But for, it's the only point is for the public to stop for one day out of a year, one day, and just say, oh yeah, and then move about their fucking business. That's it. And most don't even do that.
No.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it is interesting. Wes, what do you think about, like, do we need the holiday? Is the holiday for us? Is it for them?
I think we do. I think we need it as a reminder to the public, to those that never served in some way. And you know, it's like the old saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Well, you know, I would almost say we need a week and drown that motherfucker, you know? Like, you know, you're hitting it on the head. I mean, that is exactly it. I mean, we remember it every day, you know, all the time. And the thing I think is good, you know, having been involved with the ceremonies like the last year or two at the local post, like every Memorial Day, we have a big ceremony and we get, you know, a guy that was in the Army band plays taps. And you have families from, you know, veterans who have passed on maybe recently, maybe they passed on during combat. But that always gets them. And you can see in that moment for just a split second, they remember. And, you know, maybe that's what's needed is maybe more instead of less. But as we've seen, I mean, constantly, most don't get it. They're too concerned right now with LeBron and who the hell Kim Kardashian screwing, you know, and right. If she's still a thing. I don't even know. You know, I mean, that's for me, that's kind of, you know, it's why I kicked social media. Like, I just couldn't take it anymore. It was just too much. And I was getting drowned in all the bullshit. And, you know, canceling that, it made me aware of more of happiness locally around me, which is where I feel like, you know, we can make great change is locally in the real world. And you know, that's the only reason that I've gone to the Legion other than the cheap beer is
there's a theme.
there is a theme, but really just to, you know, more for a little camaraderie, but also to help these guys, you know, that need help. And until recently, you know, I've been commander of this post for a year. For most of that year, I was the youngest guy there. And everybody else, you know, 60s, 70s, and 80s. And they were just so happy to see a young person. They're like, oh, you know, somebody who hasn't forgotten us. And now we have tons of young members because I've been trying to make changes to update us into the 21st century, at least at that
point. You had a disco ball?
Oh, we
Is that what did it?
It's magic. But just getting the message out, man.
Yeah, I've experienced the same thing. At I spend more time with the Veterans of Foreign Wars, the VFW, than I do with the American Legion. But they're very similar organizations in what they do. And I noticed that, too. It's like pulling teeth to get young guys to go in there. And just like you, I started with wanting some cheap beer and go in and get my cheap beer and then start swapping stories. And like you had mentioned earlier, you start swapping stories with an old guy that was in Korea or Vietnam, and you realize not only what they went through, you realize where your own blinders kind of were on the history of warfare and the history of the United States, but also how much you have in common and how much of what you've been through is the same thing.
Like, oh, I fucking canoed this dude's skull open. Like, wait, what the fuck? No. Like, stop. But, it's, you know, they've done the same things that we have done.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the guys that is there is a, he was a Tuskegee Airman. This dude, he was the first ever Top Gun in military history, first Top Gun, first African-American to fly a jet in combat, you know, and he turns 100 this year. And this man is still sharp as a tack. I mean, remembers names, dates, and, gets around really well. And I found the same thing, 100-year-old person, you take the typical person on the street talking about 100-year-old person, they think, oh, there's nothing in common. Still the same stories. I mean, the same shit that he went through. I mean, a little different, obviously, for us, but, I mean, the same shit. I mean, the military is the military across the board. Everybody, goes through dog shit.
Well, we have a near universal language with things like, the internal jargon. Obviously, it differs a little bit from branch to branch. And as technology changes, new acronyms are added. But if you say something like, sports to a guy that was in Vietnam, he's going to know exactly what you mean and how to clear a jam on your rifle. If you tell the story about that one really sadistic drill sergeant, it's a totally different drill sergeant for that guy, but he went through the same exact thing. So the holiday does exist. Whether or not we think that having a specific day is that important, it does exist. And I'm glad you brought up the VSOs who have like local chapters and whatnot, because one of the things that they all do, at least that I've seen across the board, is they have the Palmaya table. The table that's set up year round with, an empty glass, a plate, and nobody sits there. That table is reserved for people who didn't make it back.
Yep.
And that gets me thinking about all the national rituals that occur on Memorial Day, outside of the commercialization, outside of the barbecues and things like that. Things like the president laying the wreath on the Tomb of the Unknown, volunteers around the country planting flags at veterans' graveyards or on veterans' graves if they're not in a veteran graveyard. And so I'm curious to see, especially because we're all Satanists, so we understand the importance of ritual in an individual's life. Do those rituals get to you guys, or are they just kind of people walking through the, going through the motions at this point?
Those typically don't for me all the time. I think the ritual, the more personal rituals that you can see in any military graveyard or really any graveyard on Memorial Day, people planting flags, on grandmother's grave, whoever the veteran was, that really stands out to me. Because it's so powerful, the connection. And even people that maybe it was a great-grandfather, but, they were raised in such a way that they appreciate that sacrifice, that personal ritual of being invested just for that few moments in what that person went through and did so that they had that freedom to go visit their grave. That's to me is a pretty powerful one.
So I would say that to me, the rituals, aside from like, I'm a Satanist, I'm not, like all the things, it's just very important because this is kind of how I found Satanism anyway, was like the magical rituals. And I'm trying to think of how to say it, but they are just very, very important. I grew up wanting to be a military, what's the term? The dudes, the honor guard. Like I
want. Oh, okay.
And so, yeah, ritual is important, and it just makes all of the stuff we do that much more important. You know, we fight, we do our things, but then there's also those honor guard guys that like make it ceremonial, and it's super important to me. Like, I will always default to that. So, yeah, those ceremonies are important, and I will always continue to honor them and just do it.
Yeah, I like that the president acknowledges it in the way that he does. I feel like, you know, maybe in a couple more elections, as our society continues to degrade exponentially, I don't know that those are going to be observed anymore. You know what I mean? I mean, we're sort of at a place right now where we question norms, governmental yep. norms. And once you start questioning that, well, then the next is government behaviors. And right. that's observing holidays in specific ritualistic fashion. You know, there for me, there's a lot of comfort in the fact that this day and all of the rituals associated with it have happened so long and by so many people. It's this, you know, you're walking in shoes that have already done this dance before. You just you feel sort of connected in that, if not, shut up, Siri. If not pain, then experience at least. And so yeah. I do like that aspect of it a lot. I mean, it you know, depending on who the president is, it doesn't matter to me. As long as they're doing what they're supposed to be doing, then, you know, which is
right. It's moments like that, those little ritualistic moments where the person itself really doesn't matter. It's the position, not the person.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not always the case, but definitely in those types of situations, I think it's true.
Yeah.
And I know that the doctor talked frequently about the importance of music and ritual. And quite honestly, I can't think of a better piece of music for Memorial Day than Taps. I mean, every time I hear Taps, even if it's not Memorial Day, it pulls on my heart.
Yeah, dude.
If you play Taps on bagpipes, I'm fucking bawling.
Yes.
Like, that is crazy, too, because if, like, you give me Amazing Grace on bagpipes and I'm in 100%. Like I love that shit. You give me Taps on bagpipes. I love it. This is great. You put on like Debbie Gibson. Not so much. You know, there's certain applications for bagpipes and it's gotta be war or memory of war or something, you know?
Yeah. Taps or Amazing Grace. I'm going to be fucking bawling. Just I don't know what's going on right now.
It is funny because it's like this subconscious trigger for some vets. I say some because I know some that they don't give a fuck. It doesn't affect them at all. But yeah, for me, the raising of a flag or listening to the national anthem or listening to Taps, that shit is like Pavlov's ringing a bell and I'm looking for food. Like, you know, and it's dog looking for food. It's a scientific experiment that was done, and I'm not a crazy person just talking about bells and dolls.
I'd like to think that our audience is better educated, but they are mostly veterans. So.
Good point. actually. So yeah, I mean, like it's this weird thing where you just sort of react and you don't even, you're not even processing why you're reacting the way you are. It's just, it happens. It's just subconscious.
Oh, it's brutal. Like brutal.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you specifically, Ryan, and you know, everyone can share their story from their time in, but you're the most recent out of the service. Like you just retired not that long. I think, what are we on, a year ago or just a few months actually?
February.
But okay. So yeah, you're fresh out. What was, I know that it's a 4-day weekend when you're in the military, but what were the observances like as recent as you were in, like on post, on base?
So it was very just kind of like, let me talk shit about my branch of service. Like, oh, it's just another 4-day weekend because, you know, fuck the Air Force. Those guys don't get it. But it was, so I have spent a lot of time with like actual ground combat units. And so it was very meaningful for me. And I was like, hey, like we're doing this thing, like, yeah, whatever. Like, so it was challenging because I have had friends and comrades who have actually, you know, gone in combat. And then the rest of these Air Force folks are just like, oh, yeah, it's just a weekend off. Like, no, I can't connect with you. Like, fuck y'all. So, yeah, it was very challenging.
Yeah, that must have been kind of a sticking point for you. I know, generally speaking, the Army is a combat force. So there's a lot more people who experience it than not. But there's still the purely 100% administrative side of the Army, and it always seemed like there was a big disconnect between those guys and, for lack of a better term, line units.
You know, yeah. Actually go, well, first of all, those guys were nerds. Fuck them. But yeah, and it was very weird for me being an Air Force guy who was like admin, but I get chopped out to an infantry unit.
Right.
So,
and that was primarily because of the dog, right?
So, you know, I was walking point for an infantry unit, and they used to call me an 11 kilo, like not 11 Bravo, but like you're infantry, but you're a dog handler.
Right.
And just, I don't know. It was weird because I went through the shit, but then also, like, random infantry artillery units, like, oh, you're fucking, like, well, yeah, but I've been through more shit than you, buddy. So,
yeah, hey, I was artillery in the Army, but I was out on patrol every day, so I don't want to hear.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I was hanging 122s, just like, let's get drunk, like, let's hang mortars, let's do it. So, yeah. I'm weird. I'm a weird, like, half breed, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That makes sense. There's a lot of people that kind of like a Navy corpsman who's attached to a Marine unit, I'm sure it feels the same way.
Yeah. Same shit. And me and my dog, like, we found a lot of explosive devices, so
that's awesome.
Yeah. So I know that more of us are farther removed, but I don't know if, Adam, do you remember what Memorial Day was like on post when you were in?
Well, for 3 years, it was with the MP unit, and so we were always working.
You can swear, dude, you're fine.
So it didn't really, you know, I don't really remember the base doing anything. And I think that, to your point of like being like a line unit versus like a support unit, I was signal, but I was attached to the MP unit. And so if you were just at like battalion, then they probably had pop and circumstance, you know, for the holiday, you know, for Memorial Day, or, you know, maybe brigade level, just for televisions or you know, just the newspaper or something, so that people know that that stuff still happens. But the soldiers are still working, you know, even if it's a 4-day weekend, there's still some people working.
Nope.
So I don't know. I mean, it's
yeah, that's
I
a good
really
point.
Don't ever remember attending
there's people at the bases that are working. There's the hospitals are still open. The MPs are still patrolling.
Yeah.
There's always going to be someone at headquarters. What about you, Wes? You were National Guard, so it's probably a little different for you.
Yeah.
Tickle fights, right?
Mostly. No, I don't remember anything really that the Guard did when we weren't deployed. But when we were deployed, our battalion commander wanted to do a 5-mile run.
I forgot about that stuff. Yeah.
Oh yeah. I mean, luckily, the engineers, we always had patrol. Like anytime the battalion commander wanted to do anything, the engineers were outside the wire. But that one, I don't think we ended up, running as far. I can't remember how we got out of it. I'm sure booze was involved somehow, but they on the deployment at the base, they did have that. I think they had a concert. I can't remember who it was now, but they definitely observed it. I may have had a special meal fixed or something like that. But it was definitely something. The higher up in rank you went, it seemed like the more that they had that pomp and circumstance, and
the more it kind of mattered, really.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, I know Memorial Day is kind of a somber topic, but the whole month of May is a big military thing. May itself is Military Appreciation Month. We also have Military Spouse Appreciation Day towards the beginning of May. We just recently passed Armed Forces Day, when people who are actively serving get honored for their stuff. How do you guys feel about all that stuff kind of crammed in to one month, with the very end of it being Memorial Day? Is it kind of appropriate that you start celebrating and get somber at the end, or is it just too much stuff in one month?
Interesting, because I mean, the reality is, I think they're just trying to put it, you know, in a tight little bundle so you can just observe and get on with your life. You know, it's like sort of passing by on the road. Oh, there's May. All right, thanks for your service, and you drive on. I kind of feel like that's why they do it like that. And so, I mean, if it's to give more awareness of the different, you know, remembrances, then fuck, let's just keep tacking them on, you know? I mean, if there's a day missing, let's
fill it up.
Fucking camo pant day, or, you know, do like a fucking office thing where you can come in wearing camo pants on the Fridays or something.
Wear your whoopee as a robe day. Ryan's got that.
Hey, fuck off.
That's awesome.
I love you know, the other side of that, though, is additionally to the military stuff, it's the law enforcement Memorial Days, too.
Right,
which
yeah.
a week ago, I think.
I think so. I think you're right. Sounds yeah.
right.
So May is just like cram packed with all the stuff, but like it sucks. But I'm also like super happy that people are like, well, this is the time that we're going to remember the sacrifices you make, whether that is, you know, Memorial Day or Law Enforcement Day or whatever. Like, it just like. I'm kind of glad that people still do this for us.
That's a good point. I didn't think about that, because we have talked quite at length about how annoying the massive public can be, but there are pockets of people out there who never even served, who go out of their way during this time period to show respect, or to, you know, volunteer to plant the flags, or to to hold these kind of ceremonies. And even the giant corporations usually offer some kind of discount, so that's always nice.
Oh, yeah.
So I guess there is a little more festivity is the wrong word, but a little more concern from the general population than I think sometimes we might realize.
Though it's not every is that they do it from, you know, May 1st to May 31st, and then they just don't care.
And they just stop. Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't hear a peep from them until Veterans Day.
Right.
Yeah. And it
fuck you. I like my whoops.
I love it. I'm just jealous.
I think could be the area of the country you're in as well, as to how much participation you see. Being as close to Denver as we are, there's not too much. I mean, you know, they'll have a Memorial Day, usually an event. I don't think they do a parade anymore, but at one time they did, which was odd, I felt. But usually it's stuff like that. They don't really do it until Veterans Day. Then the further, the more rural area, the more smaller towns and stuff seem to appreciate that more. And I think maybe that goes back to the point of the warrior class probably comes more from that area. The smaller communities that actually give a shit and celebrate it. And these dang hipsters.
Just shouting, yeah. Get off my lawn playing your banjo on your porch.
Usually, yes. Yes.
Damn hipsters!
But, you know, let's be honest, like, especially from the enlisted side, the, your folks that enlist, especially for, like, the enlisted side, is they're lower income folks, you know? And then, like, halfsies for warrant officers, and then, you know, the officers, they're like fancy college kids. But by and large, the bulk of your enlisted force is poor white folks.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's generational as well. Which is,
yeah.
When I first brought that concept up to you, Adam, what was it? That was years ago now, it feels like. it was a combination of those things. It's low income, and you're right, low income generally means the southern part of the U.S. or at least the rural part of the U.S.
Yeah.
And it's generational. So if you're serving, chances are high. It's not always the case, but chances are high that, you know, your dad served, your grandpa served, stuff like that. And it does tend to build that kind of genealogy that creates a culture. And I don't know if that's a good thing or not. I do think that those people tend to work harder, and the military is a lot of hard work. So I think that aspect of it is a good thing. But I think a lot of people who make the call to go to war could stand to put some time in.
Sure. I've always been a long proponent of you cannot even be an official citizen unless you've served your community in some manner. So whether that's military service or you do a hospital work or postal work or something, just something so you're giving back to the greater society that you're joining, then you could then be a citizen. Because otherwise you end up with what we have right now. And it's just me bitching.
Right.
No one wants that.
Well, hey, thanks to Robert Heinlein. I appreciate your books.
Right. Well, I think we've about done the topic to death. Let's go around and see if anyone has anything else, any final thoughts on Memorial Day, the holiday, anything you want to say to the listening audience. Go for it.
All right. Well, the last thing I'll say, look straight into the camera, is everybody listening, I would hope the bulk have served and you know, make sure that you remind people what the holiday is really about. And for all of you that haven't served, don't be a dick. Celebrate the holiday as intended.
Well said. Well said.
Yeah. Good cheer.
Anybody else have any final thoughts?
Yeah, I'll just say don't forget our fallen. We all chose this life, and we chose this life many times over, and we're here for you. We do this because we care about you, and the most important thing, like, you can talk about patriotism or dying or whatever, but it's not about you. It's about the guy to the left of me and to the right of me.
Yeah.
Yeah, very well said.
Adam? Yeah, I just had a stupid final thought that I don't think I should say anymore. those were poignant. Have you ever thought of a bigger disparity in perception from soldiers looking at officers and thinking, those are those, you know, stupid brainiac college twerps, and then being on the outside and thinking about college kids, and you're like, those are just fucking retards. Like, they're just the stupidest pieces of shit that are just drinking all day and not doing shit with their lives. You know, they're just showing up to class so that daddy continues paying it. So on that side, on the civilian side, they're like, you're worthless. On the military side, we're like, you fucking high and mighty college piece of shit. You know, it's weird. It's like a total disparity. All right. Anyway.
But hey, as senior non-commissioned officers, we have a responsibility to make them better.
That's true. You got to train your officers up right.
Some of the best relationships I had were with my XOs and my CO. I mean, yeah. And it's because we didn't communicate on that military level. As soon as we were talking, it was just two humans. You know, we could actually like get to that basic level, and not every soldier, commissioned or non, can get there because they're sort of in their head about what they're supposed to be doing or whatever. But if you get a dude who can just drop the rank for a second and just laugh with you, or just, you know, have a moment, then it makes you want to serve them better. You know, if they're your superior, it makes you want to be a better soldier for them. It's when they're like just being, I don't know how I got on this rant. Anyway,
it's interesting.
I like it.
Feel free.
So, here's the summary. Hey, sir, I like you. You have a lot of potential, but I will choke the fuck out of you if you do not listen to me.
Right. I like that.
Well, I won't end by saying happy Memorial Day, because that would be an affront to all of our sensibilities. But I will end by saying thank you guys very much for taking the time to do this, for giving your thoughts, hopefully unfiltered, to the listening audience. Thank you once again, Adam, for coming up with this idea. I think it's a great idea. I always try to make Memorial Day and Veterans Day a very special episode, and I think this was a great way to do it.
It was either this or just live stream walking through a graveyard, and I thought that might be a little bit morbid. So
they both have their merits. It's
true. Would you be wearing a robe, though, when you walk through the graveyard? And a
made of a woody.
I could borrow his.
Perfect.
I do hope that everyone listening takes some time today to pause and reflect on the sacrifices that our brothers and sisters made for you. And I'm sure that most people, if they look far enough back in their family tree, will find somebody who served as well. But after the break, I'm going to come back and do our traditional reading of the fallen, where I will read each name of an individual who served and died in combat. All of these individuals were known to or related to our Infernal Legionnaires, so they are essentially extended family. And then we'll conclude the episode with the traditional playing of taps. In the meantime, gentlemen, once again, thank you so much. And until we get to talk again, hail Satan.
Hail Satan.
Hail Satan. Hail Satan.
In 1966, Anton LaVey created the Church of Satan, marking the beginning of the Age of Fire and year one Anno Satanas. In 1969, he published The Satanic Bible, codifying Satanism as a religion, the first time it's been done in human history.
In the name of Satan, ruler of the earth, king of hell, come forth from the pit, bestow the blessings of hell upon us. For we are your children, and we invoke thee this night.
In 2001, I was appointed High Priest of the Church of Satan. In 2007, I published the Satanic Scriptures, further defining and expanding on Satanic philosophy and greater magic ritual.
Hail Satan, full of might! Our allegiance is with thee. Cursed are they, the God adorers. And cursed are the worshippers of the Nazarene eunuch.
For the past 50 years, the Church of Satan has stood as the sole organization to define and defend Satanism as a religion. And though pretenders to the infernal throne have come and gone, we have stood the test of time and will into the future. Visit churchofsatan.com for more information and read the Satanic Bible and the Satanic Scriptures. Knowledge is the solution for ignorance. Hail Satan!
Hail Satan!
Hail Satan!
Private First Class Stephen P. Snowberger III, United States Army. Special Warfare Operator Second Class Casey Lewis, United States Navy. Specialist Eric D. Clark, United States Army. Seaman Lance Alexander, United States Navy. Specialist Arturo Huerta Cruz, United States Army. Machinist Mate Second Class Alex Solano, United States Navy. Lance Corporal William W. White, United States Marine Corps. Sergeant First Class Jason Comiso, United States Army. Corporal David S. Stewart, United States Marine Corps. First Lieutenant Dustin Vincent, United States Army. Sergeant First Class Todd M. Harris, United States Army. Captain Ian P. Weichel, United States Army. Corpsman Herbert Weller, United States Navy. Sergeant Daniel Rodriguez, United States Army. Senior Airman Nicholas J. Alden, United States Air Force. Staff Sergeant James D. Ellis, United States Army. Specialist Justin R. Jarrett, United States Army. Specialist Raymond S. Armijoe, United States Army. Specialist Christopher C. Walker, United States Army. Sergeant Josh Evans, United States Army. Corporal Joshua Harton, United States Army. Senior Airman Brian R. Bell, United States Air Force. Master Sergeant Adam F. Benjamin, United States Marine Corps. Chief Petty Officer Raymond J. Border, United States Navy. Senior Chief Petty Officer Terrell E. Horn III, United States Coast Guard. Private Michael P. Burke, United States Army. Captain Norm Olson, United States Navy. Lance Corporal Chase D. Sweetword, United States Marine Corps. Private First Class Brian J. Baltiera, United States Army. Lance Corporal Marco A. Barranco, United States Marine Corps. Private First Class Evan A. Bath, United States Army. Corporal Wesley A. Rod, United States Army. Lance Corporal Guillermo S. Perez, United States Marine Corps. Private First Class Jack R. Ostrovsky, United States Army. Corporal Caesar A. Villanueva, United States Army. Hospitalman Christopher Nim, United States Navy.
Sergeant Zaina K. Creamer, United States Army.
Veteran Suicide Hotline, phone number is 1-800-273-8255, 1-800-273-TALK, and as soon as you dial that, you press number 1. Also, you can text to 838-255 for more information, but it is just as effective as chat. Support is free, confidential, and available 24/7. It is available to all servicemen and women, active and inactive, guard or reserve, and available to veterans' family members as well.